Well, hello, world, and welcome to the Shanna and Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. It is so good to be with all of you today. We are broadcasting live on Rumble, live on Twitter, Spreely TV, Roku TV, Apple TV. We're on every podcast platform imaginable. iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, you name it. And of course, huge thank you to our 50,000 watt powerhouse AM news talk radio station, News Radio Wham 1180. It's the flagship station of the Shannon Joy Show. Let's get right to our very, very special guest today, Dr. Pierre Corey, once again in the Joy Virtual Studio, looking tan, healthy, vindicated, happy. I love the staging behind you. It looks fantastic. I might have to poach that, because we're going to be redoing the background here. You look great. Thank you so much. Warrior Doc on the front lines, FLCCC. We're going to get into all of his credentials and everything he's been doing. But welcome once again. So glad to have you.
Woohoo! You got me like all pumped up. That was a really great introduction. Thanks, Shannon. It's good to see you again.
Well, listen, it is going to be the medical doctors, the warrior doctors who save America. I am convinced it is those of you who stood up in the dark days of 2020 against all of the lies. You were persecuted. You were maligned. You were taken out. Many lost their licenses. Many had their reputations besmirched across the medical community. People lost their jobs, but you stood up and you continued to stand up. If you guys don't know Dr. Pierre Corey, you must. He is the president and chief medical officer over at FLCCC Alliance. This is an amazing organization that is treating Americans and citizens across the world who are suffering from long COVID, from COVID-19 vaccine injury, and they've been treating patients since day one with their amazing protocols. He is also active on Twitter. He is active in lawsuits. He is among the medical freedom warriors, this community of warriors standing up. We're still in the midst of this. He is the best-selling author of The War on Ivermectin, which you can get in the show notes. I have the link for you right there. You can follow him on Twitter. His handle is at Pierre Corey, and you must follow his Substack, Pierre Corey Medical Musings. .com. That is his personal Substack. And let's get right into it. You deserve a great introduction because you are doing just unbelievable work, servant leaders in the medical community. You wrote the book, The War on Ivermectin. And recently, you've had a huge victory, landmark case in the settlement. The judge has now ordered the FDA to take down all the dis and malinformation about ivermectin, that disgusting horse paste ad, yep. All of the propaganda. They have to remove it from their website, all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. It was a huge victory along with your colleagues, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden and Dr. Paul Merrick. How does it feel? First question, how terrible does it feel actually to be right about this all along and vindicated after such character assassination?
Yeah, I mean, it is, we haven't had many victories in terms of the medical resistance movement, which, you know, from this totalitarian oppression, but we busted them here, Shannon. You know that, we busted them. So, you know, that court case, basically they had to admit that they had unfairly inserted themselves in the practice of medicine. They'd overstepped their statutory authority and they had to settle. And like you said, they have to remove everything I've said about ivermectin. But here's the important thing. This is why I don't know if happy is what it makes me, but right. It's important because what are we trying to do here? We're trying to expose the truth. And, you know, they had to admit what they did. And the problem there, though, Shannon, is that so many people die. This is more of like an exposure victory than a real victory for patients' health, because people died as a result of their actions. And the more important thing that I try to bring up about this FDA thing is there's a chapter in my book called The Horse Dewormer PR Campaign. And I just want to point out that in a span of 10 days in August of 2021, starting with the FDA tweet, August 21st, 2021, they say, you're not a horse, you're not a cow, stop it, y'all, right? So this snarky little tweet goes out from the FDA, which is outside of their authority.
Right.
5 days later, the CDC sends a memo to every state medical board, every licensed physician in the country, gets this memo saying that there's a rise in calls to poison control centers, right? So now they're scaring, now the CDC gets in. So this is important, right? FDA on the 21st, the 26th, the CDC steps in, sends out this memo, which is absolutely misrepresents the data. It was like a 70% rise in calls to poison control centers. Two journalists found out it was like two calls.
Yeah,
That's literally what it was, okay?
total BS.
So FDA, CDC, then 3 days later,
CDC probably called poison control themselves, by the way.
there's that.
Disguise the
Absolutely. I would not
right?
put it past them. And then Anthony Fauci went to national television with Jake Tapper, and he says, there's no clinical evidence that this works, you know, and on national television. So you have this coordinated series of actions. And then right after that starts the media firestorm, right? So boom, every single late night show host. I mean, they all got the memos, right? Write jokes about ivermectin as a horse dewormer. And there's nothing but horse dewormer jokes. News broadcasters, newspapers, horse dewormer, horse dewormer, horse dewormer, right? So you have this coordinated series of our public health agencies attacking a drug, which at that time, on the day of Fauci's CNN appearance, I think there was 63 controlled studies, like 30 randomized. I mean, the amount of evidence for ivermectin is overwhelming.
Right.
And then this media firestorm, and I always like to point out, 2 days after Fauci, and when the media is going nuts on horse dewormer, Joe Rogan gets COVID, right? And then he turns into the whipping post, you know, the whipping boy
That's right.
for ivermectin. And so, you know, I've tried to message Joe to say, hey, man, you picked the wrong time to get COVID. But, you know, it was fierce. And like, you know, we were talking about, you know, I don't have evidence for this, but I suspect, you know, Weber Shandwick, this massive PR firm that has simultaneously clients of Pfizer, Moderna, and CDC. I think they executed it. They used all of their media firepower and they just sent out, I mean, that was a wicked, vicious campaign. And let me just finish on it. At the end of that campaign, because I was working at that time in an ICU in Wisconsin, retailers, so retail pharmacies just absolutely stopped filling. Hospital formularies, they stopped stocking ivermectin. I mean, that memo got out somewhere also. I mean, that message got sent out, and you could see what everyone was doing. They were stopping to fill ivermectin. And going back to the case was brought literally, the people had standing like Mary Talley Bowden, because she had audio recordings and video recordings of pharmacists arrogantly refusing to fill valid prescriptions, citing the FDA's opinion. And the last thing I want to say about this, because it's subtle, it's not that subtle, but the FDA, every time they communicated ivermectin, they always included the following sentence: the FDA has not approved or authorized COVID for ivermectin for COVID. But Chad, as you know, and many people know, we don't need the stinking FDA to approve it for COVID. We don't need approval. We don't need, and so it's like they're literally manipulating us into thinking that because they haven't approved it. And what gets even worse is they even said on their page on their website that they haven't reviewed the evidence for ivermectin. So why are you going after a drug that you haven't performed a review and you haven't approved or authorized? I mean, we don't need this off-label prescribing. And they know off-label prescribing is not only legal, but it's championed by the FDA. So I would want any of your listeners who are still unconvinced of the corruption around ivermectin and the attacks around ivermectin, ask yourself, why is a major regulatory agency behaving in this fashion?
Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Well, and it does scream PR campaign. If you've been in media and you watch media, and I have, I was in marketing and advertising and radio, television, billboard for 13 years prior to starting my show. I ran campaigns. I know a campaign when I see a campaign. You know, a 10-day time period, every single angle. You have, you know, messaging going out to government officials, messaging going out to healthcare officials, messaging going out to the general public via the late night shows and the social media accounts, the morning banter, you name it. And then obviously this horse paste, you know, ad that they put out. The question I have two questions for you, actually. How many lives do you think? I mean, this is tragic in so many ways, because so many people could have so easily been treated and cured and gone on to live healthy lives if they had access or knowledge to not only ivermectin, but hydroxychloroquine and, you know, some of the other monoclonal antibodies and some of the other, you know, things that we were seeing. How many people do you think could have been saved if the government hadn't pursued this course of action?
I mean, I think it's the vast majority. I mean, you're in this country, you're talking in the many, many hundreds of thousands. I mean, that it's hard even to say that number because you're talking about lives that were, you know, that died unnecessarily. And the thing is, you kind of brought it up in your question, which I appreciate, because it's hard to blame all the deaths on the war on ivermectin without considering the war on hydroxychloroquine. That was the same war, same tactics, same results. And hydroxychloroquine was on the radar way earlier than ivermectin. So if you go back all the way to 2020 and we had a national campaign with hydroxychloroquine, I mean, this pandemic would have been completely different and even more so with ivermectin. And they both work. Ivermectin is more potent, but it's, you know, it's really hard to talk about that. I mean, our world would have been different without these wars, a completely different world. We would not have, not everything would have been cratered and all the vaccine mandate. I mean, that's part of why they conducted this war, right? I mean, they needed to disappear early effective repurposed drugs. And
So that they
so
could
it's.
funnel everyone into the forced and coerced vaccination. Dr. Pierre Corey, when you add into that the government protocol of isolation, dehydration, remdesivir, ventilation, then death that was deployed in major hospitals across the country and world unnecessarily, we're looking at just an absolute tragedy. It's just an absolute tragedy. And we're still in the midst of it, which is crazy. This is where I want what I want to ask you now. I would guess that you have never in your life seen anything near this type of massive campaign against a single drug, right? To your point, they didn't like hydroxychloroquine, but they didn't really go after it. They didn't like some of the other treatments, but they didn't attack it in the way they have attacked ivermectin. And I'm wondering if it's because ivermectin was bigger even than COVID-19 and even bigger than the vaccine. As we now move into the late stages of vaccine injury and death, and we're seeing the explosion in cancers, we're seeing the explosion in autoimmune disorders that are essentially suppressing people's immune systems chronically so they can't fight off new infections. As we are now in the later stage where, you know, Geert Vandenbosch just sent out a Substack yesterday talking about he thinks we're at the calm before the storm, that we are going to see a new wave of illness and death, COVID-19 vaccine related. Do you think that the war on ivermectin could have been bigger than just COVID-19 and the vaccine and in the capacity that it can fix and potentially treat these other types of illnesses?
You know, I do think that's certainly possible because, right, ivermectin is antiparasitic, antiviral, anti-inflammatory, and it even has some antibacterial activity as well as anti-tumor. So it is a wonder drug, as the Nobel Prize discoverer called it in his acceptance speech. But so it is true. You know, just like they're terrified of vitamin D, and that's why they've polluted vitamin D science for 3 decades. I mean, ivermectin would be like another one because it's such an amazing medication because it's so safe too. But the thing is, going back to my point earlier, you know, they attacked ivermectin just like hydroxychloroquine. And hydroxychloroquine doesn't have all those properties. So it's still literally, I think their objective was just getting it out of the COVID conversation for sure. And I definitely. They had many, many reasons to go after it for sure, but they only needed one.
Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. We're talking today to Dr. Pierre Corey. We're going to go to break really quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about the surge in cancers, the surge in autoimmune disorders, what he's seeing. He's continuing to practice. But before we go to break, I do want to quickly give a shout out to one of our amazing sponsors, the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. One of the ways that you can prepare for the future and prepare your family against, you know, stock market collapse, financial collapse, all of the things that people are talking about could be coming in the next couple months is to diversify into gold. As you guys know, I purchase gold, physical silver. I've been buying physical gold and silver for a very, very long time, but I also have paper gold as well, or as many people say, setting up those safe and secure self-directed IRAs. So this is something that Colonial Metals Group specializes in. They're amazing. They're sponsors of the Shannon Joy Show. And I want you to write down this number right now. I'm going to put the link in the show notes and also give you the number. It's 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950. You can see if you qualify for a free safe to store your precious metals and also $10,000 in free silver if you qualify. So they have a great offer just for Shannon Joy Show viewers and listeners. But you've got to call this number, 888-705-0950. We'll be back in a moment to continue this discussion with Dr. Pierre Corey. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. Today, we are joined by the amazing Dr. Pierre Corey. Please follow him on his Substack, pierrecoreymedicalmusings.com. That's pierrecoreymedicalmusings.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Pierre Corey and grab his book, The War on Ivermectin. You can get it on Amazon. And this is going to be very important as we move forward into what is tragically, or what tragically looks to be, more illness and death. Dr. Corey, there's been slight disagreements here and there within the medical freedom community, the scientific community, and the community of doctors on all sorts of things, right? The nature of COVID, what is it? The origin of COVID-19, did it, happen naturally or was it a lab leak? How to treat it. And so there are many gentlemen's disagreements on some of those topics, which is fine. One of the areas, though, that I seem to see a consensus among most of the docs, there are actually two areas. The first that is that it's become very clear, I believe, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong on this, that the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, whatever it is, okay, whatever was in those vials, is far more lethal than the virus, than the COVID-19 virus that we dealt with in 2020. And the second area that I'm seeing more consensus is that instead of seeing injuries and chronic illness decline as the uptake of the vaccine goes down, we are actually beginning to see, or it seems like we are beginning to see, an acceleration in number and severity of chronic illnesses and disease as a relation as in relation to the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, meaning that there might be latent impact or down the road long-term impacts of massive multiple vaccine uptake. So I wanted to ask you about those two things.
Yeah,
Are you
yeah.
and the first one, the virus versus the
Yeah.
vaccine? What are your thoughts on that?
So if you look at excess mortality, it was elevated in 2020 as well as 2021. It was more elevated in 2021. So I would say you can make an argument that the vaccine is more deadly than the virus. And I would say that for sure in terms of young people. That is inarguable. I mean,
Right.
vaccine, I mean, if I've written a number of op-eds on excess mortality, actually in USA Today, Newsweek, and The Hill. And you're right, it's late. I mean, in 2023, the first 9 months of 2023, 158,000 Americans died more than predicted, right? So we're still seeing huge amounts of excess death, while COVID severity is way, way lower. I mean, it's very mild. And so maybe that first wave, like particularly New York where I was really bad, but yeah, the vaccines are causing just untold medical carnage. I mean, it's ending lives of massive amounts of young people. The most telling is the U.S. Society of Actuaries report. So their May 2023 report, they showed the data for 2021, and all of a sudden, in the third quarter of 2021, you saw like 187% rise in life insurance claims amongst young people. You're talking about like 15 to 35, or something like 25 to 44. And it's an explosion because you see the rates that were increasing. So it was high, 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 high. And then all of a sudden, boom. So you have to ask yourself, what happened? What terrorist event or what war did we start in the third quarter of 2021 where we're losing all these young people? And the only answer I can come up with, societal, is that was the proliferation of vaccine mandates, healthcare institutions, governments, corporations, schools, universities. And you see this just massive explosion in deaths of young people. And you know, that you can't argue with that data. We know medical journals are corrupted. We know that for every study that shows something's harmful, they can put out five that says it's safe, but nobody can explain why they're dying like that. And then I'm sorry, Shannon, what was your
Can I
second
just ask
question?
you one more question on that, on that topic? Because I was in New York during 2020 when there were all of the excess deaths. And what I remember, there are two things in particular. First and foremost, the protocols that were sent by the government in terms of determination of a COVID death were very broad, right? You could get hit by a bus. And if they were able to get a positive COVID-19 test, then that would be deemed a COVID-19 death. And I think, in addition to that, when you consider the lack of treatment, right? What if you had a flu, you know, we had a bad flu season or another virus, and everyone got on the vitamin D, a little bit of ivermectin or whatever, you actually treated it. But the government was telling people to stay home until they couldn't breathe. And then they were going in and getting the government mandated COVID protocol, which then, you know, exacerbated their situation. So could you make the argument that even though that uptick in 2020 wasn't really that great an uptick, or it was preventable if there were just common sense basic treatment programs available and not the very, very generous description of what it meant to be a COVID death?
Yeah. So true, true. Oh, so one point, absolutely, COVID cases and deaths were inflated. That's been throughout. We know that through massive testing and then dying with or from all that nonsense. So for sure, those numbers can't be trusted. But you know, I left the University of Wisconsin, where I was the critical care, the chief of the critical care service. I was the head of their main ICU. I actually resigned in April of 2020 because they were really advocating for supportive care only. And if you read, your listeners don't know what that means, supportive care only is just nutrition, hydration, you know, maybe fever control, oxygen, ventilator. Those aren't treatments, that's just support.
Oh, my
And
word.
when I was trying to be more aggressive using corticosteroids and blood thinners, we were getting pushback from above. And I said, I refuse to be a clinical leader if this is how you're going to approach this disease. These patients are dying because they're not being treated. You know, and we're getting the usual claptrap about, oh, you don't have any randomized controlled trials to support what you're doing. You might hurt them. And anyway, so I resigned there. But but you know, going back to New York, those, you know, that was that March, April, and early May of 2020 were just insane. I mean, I went back to my old hospital where I'd been in attending there for almost 10 years. I went to volunteer because we were getting emails, us intensivists, we're getting emails every day. Come to New York now. Intensivists need New York now. And I get there and the hospitals were transformed. First of all, they shut down all surgeries. They were cranking out ICU beds, making more intensive care units. So many more nurses were working in ICUs who hadn't had ICU training. I mean, it was really wicked. And we had a floor of patients that were like teetering on non-invasive ventilators, full on 100%, you know, breathing at 35. And they were, you know, two or three of them would get intubated every day and they all had the same x-rays. I mean, it was wicked back then. But what's weird is what happened in New York didn't happen in all the cities. It's very odd, the distribution of where it became
Didn't happen in
medical.
Rochester. Yeah, everything was empty. Everything they were furloughing nurses. They were furloughing nurses. They were dropping their hours. And I had people in every urgent care, every hospital. And for the first 6 months, it was basically empty. You had a slightly busy COVID floor because people were nervous and they would go in. But other than that, you know, so it's very strange. The whole thing is very strange. The whole thing is.
Well, you know, I don't want to get too tinfoil hat. This is not tinfoil hat, but if you read Bobby Kennedy's book that's recently released called, I think it's called Escape from Wuhan, it's a really disturbing book to read because it's a long book. He goes over the most atrocious history of bioweapons research in this country, and it's particularly the US. They've been the leader. The Japanese were like the first bioweapons experts, then, of course, the Germans. But the United States have been messing with bioweapons for 100 years. And when you hear about how they've tested so many different bio, they literally have intentionally released them in areas where soldiers were in different communities to do these tests. I mean, it's truly astounding. And so, you know, when you read that book, you know, you're let, because I've heard other people hypothesize that these were focused releases,
Oh,
like they
sure.
in areas harder than others. And if you look at the epidemiology of that first initial wave, I'm not saying it was, but it certainly fits that hypothesis.
Well, and I will tell you, Dr. Corey, there were different experiences in my corner of the world. Delta was nasty. Delta was particularly nasty. And I'll tell you who it hit because we were hanging out with all kinds of medical freedom people. So you couldn't swing a dead cat without finding me on a street corner somewhere with a sign trying to get things open or, you know, get the nurses their jobs back because they were all getting fired for not taking the COVID vaccine. And it was in our community of relatively unvaccinated populations of people. And it just hit some of our people really, really hard. And I'll never forget that 2 or 3 month period where I felt like I was on my phone all day long with people
Wait,
calling. Yeah.
Janet. I gotta say something. It's so interesting, everything you just said, because you're not a physician, right?
No.
But I have said what you have said so many times. For me, in my entire career of treating COVID, right, which is now, I guess, getting up to 4 years, it wasn't just Delta. It was late phase Delta. So Delta was June of 2021. Yeah, Delta was June of 2021. And it lasted until December when Omicron took over. But September through November, I will never forget it. I mean, ivermectin at the standard dose that was not enough in a lot of patients. I was using, we had at that time, we had first line, second line, and third line. I was using first, second, and third line. And I saved a good friend of mine who's a cardiologist, one of the experts at using ivermectin in the United States. He
Right.
was trying to treat himself, ran into trouble. His wife had to call me. And I really, because you're not supposed to doctor yourself because your judgment's not very good. And he's a
Sure.
terrific doctor. And I literally came in, I had him on like six or seven meds to get him through. Now, none of my patients, only one, actually, I'm sorry, only two patients went to hospital in my entire COVID career. One was actually Omicron. And then the other one was actually a cousin who got to me on day 10, you know, breathless. But she didn't die. She didn't die. I only had one death. But I've said what you just said so often. I mean, that late phase Delta, I mean, I was throwing everything at
Yeah.
Delta, and I was successful, but I had to be really aggressive. And I'm an ICU doctor. I'm like, I'm pretty aggressive guy when I have to. When I see sickness, and it's especially that severe, I was pulling out all the stops.
Yeah. I mean, so I wouldn't discount any type of speculation that in certain geographies, certain locations, certain times, that they wouldn't deploy certain bioweapons if this is part of a larger plan. And I think a lot of people are very open to this concept that we might be in some type of biological warfare situation right now. I think that that's just it, the evidence bears out.
Yeah, I mean that I don't even I mean again, I guess there are differences of opinion, but I don't think you can question that, right? So we all know that this was came out of a lab. This is genetically engineered, number one. Number two, gain of function research is a euphemism for bioweapons research. So
Right,
period.
right, right. It's the
Which
same
is
thing.
why,
Yeah.
yeah. So I don't even like that name, gain of function, because I think it's bioweapons research. So you're basically talking about a weaponized virus that got out of a lab. Right. And so, I mean, this, you know, and I sometimes joke with my chronically ill patients, like my long vax, long COVID patients. I say, because it's so complex what happens to these patients. They're so sick, so many of them. I
Yeah.
say, you know, I'm learning as I go. This is my first bioweapon disease, you know, that I'm trying
Oh, that's so
to
bad. I shouldn't laugh. Why am I laughing?
so.
There's nothing funny about this at all.
But I literally am
I
trying to
guess you
find
have to
out.
laugh or else you'd stick your head in the oven, though, right? I
Yes,
mean, because
I
what are we
agree.
going to do with this? I mean, right?
My patients generally laugh at that joke. So, you know, depends how they're feeling. If not feeling that well that day, you know, I go easy on them with the humor. But
Good.
anyway.
Then I don't feel like a total asshole for laughing at that.
No, not at all.
All right, we got to go to break. Save me. We're talking to Dr. Pierre Corey today on the Shannon Joy Show about dealing with bioweapons, gain of function research, and what went down in the dark days of 2020, and what we can see and what we can expect moving forward. When we come back, we're going to talk about the continued persecution of medical doctors who are saving patients and treating patients. You'd think that this was over, especially after the smackdown of the FDA and their war on ivermectin. But we're still continuing to see doctors silenced, persecuted, hauled before medical boards to defend their licenses and their practices. And it's very, very concerning, given where we are at in the emergence of this truth. And then also, I would like to talk about what appears to be a new round of vaccine injury and death. The headlines about the turbo cancers and the increased cancers, and then also these autoimmune disorders are very concerning. So we're going to ask him about all of that when we come back right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Shannon Joy Show. Today we are joined by our good friend Dr. Pierre Corey. He is seeing patients, treating patients, actually practicing. You can go to drpierrecorey.com, drpierrecorey.com. That's drpierrecorey.com to see everything that he has to offer there. Also, please follow him on Substack. His Substack is pierrecoreymedicalmusings.com. You can also follow him on Twitter. His handle is at Pierre Corey. I'm going to have to make sure that you follow me, Dr. Corey, because I was looking to promote everything. And I'm like, oh, he's not following me on Twitter. No, I'm just.
Wait, don't say it, say it ain't so, Shannon.
It ain't
Say it ain't
so. Come
so.
on now.
All right, at Shannon Joy.
Yeah, at Shannon Joy Radio.
Radio,
Yeah,
Shannon
because
Joy.
we only just started doing video on the show. This is, we're now in. I want to say the 18th, we started the fall of last year with video, but the first 10 years of my program was all AM
Radio.
terrestrial
Interesting.
radio. Yeah. And in the
Well,
dark days of COVID, let me tell you, I was basically in my bedroom talking to a wall, monologuing for 15 minutes because they kicked me out of the studio at iHeart and sent me home. It was awful. It was the worst thing ever. I would
wow.
cry before my show sometimes because I did not know what was going on.
Wow.
And I didn't have any bumper music or banter, no producer, nothing. It was just like me and the mic. It was awful.
That's funny. I'm a follower now, so check.
Yay. Nothing like a little public shaming on the show.
That's right.
I'm just messing around.
That's
Dr.
right.
Pierre Corey is with us today. I want to move on to what is very distressing to many people within the medical freedom community. I think among the docs and the scientists, there was a genuine hope that as vaccine uptake declined, right, we are down in probably single digits right now, at least in the United States of America, in terms of vaccine uptake, which is a miracle. It's a huge win against the PR firms and the campaigns of misinformation and disinformation. However, tragically, instead of seeing the rates of myocarditis, pericarditis, neurological disorders, all-cause mortality, cancers, autoimmune disorders, it seems as if not only are they accelerating in number, but also in severity. And so I'm looking at all the metadata. I'm looking at all the different studies coming out. There's a mountain of research now at our fingertips about the mechanisms of vaccine injury and death. We're seeing the reports on the white fibrous blood clots, which are very concerning, right? And it just seems all very dystopian. So what I try to do is I read all the best scientists and docs out there. I'm looking at the metadata, and then I match it with what I see in my own community. What's being talked about at my dinner table, at the Easter dinner table, with my family, within my community. And I will tell you, the chronic sickness and illness, people who cannot stop getting sick, young people, friends of my children, right? 15-year-old girls, 16-year-old boys who are out every 4 weeks with something that completely lays them out. They're testing negative on everything, okay? Flu, strep, COVID, you name it, but they're so sick they can't get out of bed. It's completely knocking them out. The cancers, the aggressive stage three cancers out of nowhere that seem to have metastasized in like hyperspeed, right? And this seems to be accelerating to me. That's the sense that I'm getting. You are in the field, you're treating patients, you're connected to all the best thinkers, scientists, and doctors in the world. What is your sense of what is happening right now? And are you concerned that we might be entering a new wave of a very severe illness post-COVID vaccine because of those vaccines?
Yeah. So what I'm seeing, I can speak mostly about cancer because that's what I've been studying mostly. And we've just published an op-ed in the Washington Times last week. about cancers in young people and their aggressiveness, right? So we, I guess, in this movement, we'll use the term turbo cancer. The system docs will say that's not a defined term,
Whatever.
but you're right. They're aggressive, less sensitive to treatment, and they move fast. And people are dying quicker than you've ever seen. And one of the things, one of the really scary data points that we uncovered is me and my writing partner, Mary Beth Pfeiffer. She's an investigative journalist. One of the really scary data points is the rise in cancers of it's kind of unknown primary. And that's cancers that we interpret that as cancers that are occurring and going so fast that they don't even get a biopsy before death. So you're getting these undiagnosed metastatic cancers. So that's another signal that turbo's happening. And so but it's so much concentrated in the young people, but the data right now, it'll fill in over months to the next couple of years. The data right now is like certain cancers in certain age groups and not others, but year-to-year rises we've never seen before. Like I think it was uterine cancer in 2023, or it was 2021, 37% increase in this one age group, like these young people. I think it was 25 to 44. I mean, that is a shocking year-to-year rise. If you're following cancer rates, yes, they do change, but this was massive. And we have others like for pancreatic and then liver disease. So you're right. Not to hammer this drum, but when you think about what we talked about, this is a bioweapon, and it's literally caught. It's not just the virus that killed. Then you have literally the most pathogenic part of the virus, which is the spike protein, is what we've injected genetic material telling bodies to make spike. And my practice is solely focused on long COVID and long vax. Same disease, two different triggers. But my practice is 70% long vax.
Right.
The majority of my practices, they've been vaccinated. And we do stuff like we check these. There's a really interesting test called a semi-quantitative spike antibody level. Now, it's not the amount of spike. We think it's a proxy for the amount of spike the patients are producing, but it has this reference, not to get too geeky, Shannon, but it has this reference range of 0 to 25,000.
Okay.
And long haulers, they'll come in the hundreds to low thousands, like 2, 3, 4,000. The vax injured, they come in with 7, 10, 15,000. Then we have a cohort of patients that are reported as greater than 25,000. So massive amount of spike antibody that they're making. And and you wonder why they're so sick.
Yeah. Have you seen any studies that have linked these cancers, these aggressive, fast-moving cancers, to vaccine uptake or number of doses, number of boosters? Is there anything out there yet? Have they begun to study that?
So I don't know that that's the most of the data, the most of the studies that we're doing and that we're seeing, it's temporally associated with the campaign. So you're asking for like another layer of granularity, but I will
Yeah.
tell you, one of the most outspoken oncologists in the world, I mean, this guy is like a veteran senior oncologist in the UK. You might have heard of him, Angus Dalgleish. I've had the pleasure of meeting him. We've had him on our webinar. He's an expert at melanoma. And
Okay.
he started seeing his patients, and he talks very clearly. And he actually, I can't do it for him because I'd have to let him do it. But he goes in the immunology of why it's not the dose one, it's not the dose two, it's literally the boosters, where his melanoma patients,
Huh.
stable remission for year, all relapsing. And he really thinks that the booster is the one that does that.
Do you think the cancers could be related to the suppressed immune system? So this is something that Garrett Van Den Bosch has been writing a lot about, essentially. And Ed Dowd has talked about this, and we've heard it referred to as a VADS type of syndrome, so a vaccine-induced autoimmune deficiency or disorder. And this is where your body's immune system is just completely degraded, attacking itself and unable to protect the body from any of the incoming viruses. Could that be a contributing factor to some of these cancers as well, that their immune
Yes.
systems just are so wrecked by the spike that they're just falling prey?
I think it's that's one of the three things that I think are driving it. So one is definitely the immune suppression. Our immune system is what surveils and keeps our cells and our genetic divisions in control.
Right,
And when
right.
you have that surveillance, protector system that get decreased, that's going to cause a rise in cancers. But the other two that are as deeply concerning as that is that universal DNA contamination, right? So having all of that DNA has possibility of actually triggering and integrating and causing cancers. And then when you have to look at what is in the DNA contaminants, there's the SV40 promoter sequence, which is part of how they manufacture. And so that has been known to accelerate or trigger cancer. So, you have a th three worrisome mechanisms, but we live in a really dark world here. I mean, the vaccines are safe and effective, Shannon. You try to bring out science showing that toxicity and lethality, and there's just strings of retractions. Every time you have a devastating paper that manages to get through peer review, retracted, retracted, retracted. And so it's really sad trying to get the message out. But I will tell you, I'll finish with this, is in our publication of op-eds, we have seen a shift in what those editors will tolerate. Like if you look at my series on excess mortality, so USA Today August, we gave devastating numbers, did not mention the vaccine. We just said, hey, what's causing this, right? Like stupidly. But we talked about the timing of it and everything. Okay. Then in Newsweek, a few months later, this is, I think, November 2023, we slipped in like maybe the vaccine. We had it in there. And then the third one in the Hill, we had it much more prominently. And the op-ed last week in Washington Times on cancer, we definitely put in vaccine as a possibility. And right now, Mary Beth has a draft going where we go right after the vaccines as the most likely approximate cause. Now, we haven't pitched it to editors yet, so I'll let you know what their what their kind of comfort feeling with that information is.
So just so you all know what's going on here, Dr. Pierre Corey and Mary Beth Pfeiffer are grooming the mainstream media, getting them giving us a
Don't
little
say grooming,
bit
Shannon. Don't say
of
grooming.
just feeding them a little bit of truth at the time, just a little droplet of truth. Every right, you go through Newsweek, The Hill, Washington Times. Mary Beth Pfeiffer, by the way, is a rock star, a
Yes.
rock star, man. I love her. She came to our Summit for Truth and Wellness last year, covered it beautifully, wrote it up for Children's Health Defense and other outlets, and she's relentless, an amazing writer. And congratulations. No, I'm very serious though. Dr. Pierre Corey has been really the only voice from the medical freedom community that has been able to penetrate some of these mainstream news media outlets like USA Today, Newsweek, The Hill, and Washington Times, as he just mentioned. So this is the way that you get this type of discussion and you open people's minds and you move into the mainstream news media. That's great news. That really is fantastic news. So thank you for doing that. We're going to go to break very quickly. And when we come back, we're going to talk about treatments and what you're seeing. Let's go back. Let's go full circle back to ivermectin and other drugs as we face a period in time of great sickness and, increasing, rates of cancer and myocarditis and pericarditis and all these terrible things. What can we do to protect ourselves? What can we do to protect our families? What do we like in terms of treatments? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are some of the newest treatments out there that maybe are showing some promise? We're going to talk about that when we come back right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Welcome back, everyone, to the final segment of the Shannon Joy Show. Big shout out to one of our favorite advertisers and sponsors, the folks over at Kinecta Mobile. One of the things that you can do, again, we are not waiting for a politician to save us. We're not waiting for a political party. There's a lot we need to do in the next 7 months to expose the truth. A lot of it is emancipating ourselves, becoming free and independent thinkers, engaging in civics, connecting with our local communities, and holding these politicians' feet to the fire about what went down in 2020. We will not let them erase this from discussion, especially in this 2024 political electoral season. But one of the things that we can do is secure our own households and our own information. And that's what they do over at Kinecta Mobile, completely secure, encrypted phones and phone systems that will shield all of your personal data from massive corporations who would seek to use it against you, or even government entities like the NSA or intelligence agencies or the FBI or the CIA, you name it. The Fourth Amendment has really gone out the window in terms of privacy, and we need to regain it. We need to seize it back. And that's why there's a huge market four completely secure private cell phone plans. For as little as $35 a month, you can get a free phone, a phone plan, encrypted, end-to-end encryptions, comprehensive security solutions, and the peace of mind that comes with knowing that your information is completely protected. Go to phone123.com/joy. That's phone123.com/joy, or call them at 941-246-2156. The number is 941-246-2156. And as with our friends over at Colonial Metals Group, Field of Greens, and also Connect to Mobile, you can get all of their information, their links, my promo codes in the show notes for the Shannon Joy Show right here on Rumble, on Twitter, and on our podcasts. So just scroll down. You can find all of that information. Please support the sponsors that support the Shannon Joy Show. I could not do it. We couldn't bring you these amazing guests like Pierre Corey and Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Malone and Naomi Wolf and Ed Dowd and all of the amazing people. Dr. Paul Merrick, by the way, has been on the Shannon Joy Show. We got to work him into the repertoire again, of course, Dr. Corey. But we couldn't do it if it weren't for all of you, those of you who support the show, and for our sponsors. So you really have to take care of our sponsors. Let them know that the Shannon Joy audience is out there and you are active. Dr. Pierre Corey, final segment of the Shannon Joy Show. Let's talk to everyone about what we can do, right? People are sick. The cancers, the immune disorders, the myocarditis, pericarditis, the long COVID, long haul COVID, you name it. What are you seeing in terms of solutions, treatments, lifestyle changes? What areas are causing you to be optimistic in treating some of these cancers? I'm devastated today, Dr. Corey, because over the weekend, over the Easter weekend, we were having Easter dinner and I found out that a very, very close, dear, dear family friend has been diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer. Out of nowhere, she's young, 42, super healthy, a mother. And the conversation was tragic. It was, you know, like what to do, where to go. She doesn't trust her oncologist. You know, they're going doing, you know, the same typical, you should make sure you go get vaccinated so that you're protected. I mean, it's just insane.
Ugh.
Right? But these are like real souls and real people and real stories and real children who are losing their parents.
Yeah, she's the same age as Princess Catherine. I mean, right. 42, right? And so here's the interesting thing. And I just texted Paul to come in and say hello. Paul Merrick is my house guest this week.
Yes.
But he's on
get
a
out of here. Oh, he better pop in. Oh, he better yeah. pop in. The audience.
No, because you know he this year did a deep dive on cancer and the metabolic treatment approach to cancer, which is very different than standard oncologic practice, like conventional care, which is, you know, cytotoxics therapy, chemo and radiation. And there are a number of different repurposed meds that work on a different pathway to treating cancer. And he has a cancer care document on the flccc.net website, which has a number. It has like the top 20 most evidence-based therapy. So it's not everything that works for cancer, because there's other things that people say work for cancer, but we just don't have good evidence for it. But these are the top 20 with the highest evidence. And so there's a number of stuff that we use for cancer. We have an observational study using these approaches, which you can read about on the flccc.net website. And we're not recommending that you replace standard or conventional care, but we believe that this is complementary, and we can put people on multiple repurposed combination therapy protocols. And you know, I've gotten to meet integrative oncologists over the last couple of years who've been doing this kind of stuff for years, and their patients all outperform prognostic predictions. So that's one solution. Going to the vaccine injury, long COVID, long vax. So I call it long vax because it's the same thing as long COVID. The patients that see me, although it's a new name, long COVID, it's an old disease. It used to be called myalgic encephalitis chronic fatigue syndrome. Okay. Almost all patients who see me meet those criteria. It's very simple. It's a pillar of three symptoms plus a whole bunch more, but the three symptoms are new inexorable fatigue, post-exertional malaise, where if they do something, their flares, their other symptoms, or their fatigue, sometimes they can't exert themselves very much at all. So I have patients who are housebound effectively, and then some amount of brain fog, which is cognitive deficits. But then they have sensory neuropathies and dysautonomia and lots of different pains, some motor neuropathies with movement disorders, and it's just wickedly complex. But in terms of treatment, Shannon, just like in the literature around ME/CFS, there is no single treatment that works in everyone, not even close. And even when some medicines work, like, so for instance, my first line therapy is a medication called low dose naltrexone. There is some data to support that, as well as ivermectin. I would say ivermectin is effective in about 70% of my patients, but those responses vary. Sometimes it's modest, sometimes it's large. But you have to keep trying things. So naltrexone, and then there's just a whole host of other things that we do. We check spike antibody levels, we try to reduce those. We address microclotting, which is a new term in medicine I'd never used before COVID or before the
What's
vaccines.
microclotting?
Yeah, so it's the development, the aggregation of these fibrinoloid, like fibrin is one of the proteins that form clots. But these are different than just fibrin. We call it fibrinoloid because they have some amyloid qualities. Amyloid is an odd protein that can actually trigger more and more amyloid proteins being formed, and we're seeing that in the blood. And it takes a specialized test. One of my colleagues does that, and we're seeing like almost everyone is abnormal. But in my patient population, they're quite the degree of abnormality is high. We also see clumping of like platelets and red cells, and ivermectin is very good at breaking up the red cell aggregation. And we
Okay.
use a fair amount of different blood thinning strategies to very good effect. So that's like one category of therapeutics. Then there's something called mast cell activation syndrome. So we're using things like antihistamines and mast cell stabilizers. And then we use kind of systemic therapies. I've been getting a lot of experience now using something called microcurrent therapy. Hyperbaric oxygen has a trial in support of it in this
I was
disease.
going to
So
ask you about that, actually. Yeah.
that one's hard with my patients because someone might be not all are financially strapped, but for them to go to a hyperbaric center, 5 days a week, for 8 weeks, and the amount of money that costs, it's not really something that I can do with everybody, but we definitely see people responding to that. And then there's just a whole bunch of the different supplements and nutraceuticals that I use, but like the quiver, the arrows in my quiver are many, and it's kind of hard to practice with 30 things that might work. So I kind of just work with patients. We try things, we try other things, and I will say nearly all of my patients get better to some extent, but it's very hard to get them back to where they were. They're very happy with the care and the improvements. Like you take someone who comes to you disabled at 20% functioning, bringing them to 40%, they are thrilled. As a physician, I'm like, what? You still can't even leave the house. I know you're feeling better, but so it's again going back to my first bioweapon disease, and we're still trying to figure it out. But I will say this, me and my partner are getting better every day. We're learning more tricks, we're sharing tricks and insight things that work. And so we're just gonna keep doing that.
I love it. I love it. You are really servant leaders, and we're really thankful for everything that you are doing. You can find everything that Dr. Corey is talking about, and you can connect at drpierrecorey.com. So you are seeing patients. Go ahead.
Yeah, Shannon, not only my practice, but it's important. FLCCC.net, go to the treatment guides. We have one on, it's called I Recover for a Vaccine Injury. And I think,
I
because
recover.
everything there you need physician for. So for people who are sick and they want to try some of the, safe over-the-counter things, it's reasonable. But to be honest, if you're really sick, this really needs a physician with experience or a provider with experience.
Yeah, you need to. Well, and we're thankful that you're there. So FLCC dot net, absolutely. We love the folks over at the FLCCC Alliance. Really, from the very beginning, you guys were there. You were treating patients, and it is an amazing organization. And then drpierrecorey.com is your actual private practice or your practice. Thank you so much. I'm going to let you go because I know Doctor. What are we not going to be? We're not going to be able to see Dr.
Hey,
Merrick.
Paul, let me see if I can. Paul, can you say hello real quick?
On, get over here, Paul. I heard him yelling
Yeah.
at someone on the phone in the
Well,
background.
yeah, he's in a meeting with our executive director, but I said, come over and say a quick hello. It's even on this computer now.
The last time I had Dr. Merrick on, we did feature it was a big document on cancer protocols. Hello, how are you?
Hey.
You remember Shannon Joy? You did an interview with her a
Hey,
few months
how
ago.
are
Oh,
you?
yes, I remember. Yes, I
So
do.
good to see you. And we're going to have to get you on again because of the cancers. And it's just devastating. But I was just saying, what was the name of that protocol, or that it was a document that you created? It was,
Cancer care is what we were discussing. That he it's
yeah.
up on the FLCC website.
Yeah. Amazing. I've shared that with many, many, many people. So thank you.
Great.
And,
Yeah, and obviously, as you know, there's a pandemic. You know, we had COVID, now we have a pandemic of cancer.
I
And so
know.
it's going to affect almost every family in one way or another. And the tragedy is that standard chemotherapy just doesn't work. And it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so there is an effective alternative that patients can, you know, embrace. And so that's what we want to do. And, you know, we need people like you to spread the message so that people know that the oncologists are not telling them the truth. There are alternative methods that are proven by science. You know, this is science-based.
Yep. Well, we're going to get you on. We'll get you on next week or the week after. As soon as you're ready to come on, we'll do an entire hour on that
Okay. And you know what? You can bring Pierre on too because.
because.
You know, he's treating the patients, so it
Okay.
works well as a team.
Yeah, well,
Definitely.
we scratched the surface today in our discussion, and we're gonna continue this because, to your point, Dr. Merrick, it has impacted my life with my family, friends, very dear friends who are just being diagnosed with cancer left and right, and it's just tragic. And so we got to do something about this. And I'm so thankful for both of you who are on the front line. So thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Sure. Thanks,
You
A.
guys are amazing. Okay, so make sure that you follow Dr. Pierre Kory's Substack, PierreKoryMedicalMusings.com. Follow him on Twitter. His handle is at Pierre Kory. And of course, his practice, DrPierreKory.com, and the amazing organization, FLCCC, one of the best. The best. You guys will be featured on my must follow page. We're about to relaunch my brand new website. And so I'm going to have a page of like my favorites. And FLCCC is going to have a prominent place right there because you guys are an amazing resource, absolutely trusted. And I'm really thankful for you. So I'll give you another minute to get anything else off your chest that you want to tell the audience, and then we'll let you go.
You know what? I think my message is we're in an information war, and I just want people to be skeptical. Unfortunately, the major media and many of our institutions have been captured, and I want to celebrate people like you, independent alternative media without conflicts of interest, and that can openly discuss some critical issues. And so, I guess if someone's hearing that message, they already know that message. So they're listening to you, Shannon. But for
Yeah.
anyone who's unconvinced, I would say, you know, keep sticking with you know, alternative sources of media.
Yeah. Well, and even the medical freedom community, you know, our political parties now are kind of walking us through this campaign season, not talking about this. So even people who agree on these things, they're getting distracted by other electoral issues. Like, we got to stay focused, and that's what we're trying to do here on the show. So thank you so, so very much for being with us today, Dr. Pierre Kory. Thank you to our sponsors, Connecta Mobile, Field of Greens, and our amazing friends over at Colonial Metals Group. You can get all of their information in the show notes. Keep it tuned right here, guys. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on the Shannon Joy Show.